Chapter 6 and verse number 9. It says, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We just pray you would open our understanding of it this evening, that we may learn to pray as we ought. Just guide us into all truth and bless us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And we realize, I think all of us, that we want to learn to pray. We want to learn to pray better. And we see here is a pattern of prayer that the Lord gives us. And it's not the words themselves that have power. It's not something that we recite over and over like an incantation and expect to have power that in that. But it's instead the principles behind those words, the principles they teach as we understand them, as we apply them. And we realize that we pray because we have needs. That's what our motivation generally is when we, that's always when our time of prayer is the strongest, is when we see a definite need in our life. And when we sometimes think that we don't have needs, that's when it's the weakest. But in all of that, we realize that God knows our needs before we ask Him. And the question comes, well, if He already knows, why do we pray? But the reason is because we need to recognize our needs and our complete dependence upon God to answer those needs. That He wants to meet our needs, but He wants us to acknowledge Him as the giver of all things. And we have many needs, but in giving this pattern, we see that the Lord puts His finger on certain specific things so that we would be aware of them and we would see our need of them. And the phrase that we're dealing with this evening is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That we need to be aware of temptation and our vulnerability to it. So often, we tend to be oblivious to it. We don't see the pitfall until we've fallen headlong into it. And when that happens, we're in need of forgiveness. And we spoke of that last week, of how He offers that. He wants to forgive us. It says we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And He'll grant us forgiveness as we ask Him, and as He will forgive us as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. But our desire should be, and we know that His desire is, that we grow in our faith, we grow in righteousness, that with things that we don't continually make the same mistakes and seek forgiveness, even though His mercy endures and He will continue to forgive us, He wants us to have victory. He wants us to become sober-minded enough that we recognize the temptation before we fall into it. And He wants us to not only recognize it, but to seek His grace so that we can overcome that temptation. And we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 16 how He says that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we need that mercy of the Lord when we struggle, when we fail. But He also wants to give us that grace, the grace to help in time of need, just when we need it the most. That He will give us that grace to overcome. And He delights to do that. And so it's a matter so often of us. It's kind of the idea that the grace we need to overcome temptation is there for us. And so often we don't ask for that help when we need it. But we want to get an understanding scripturally of temptation. And we know, first of all, that the source of our temptation is not the Lord. And it's kind of, you read this, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not something that there's sort of a default setting that if we don't pray this prayer, if we forget to ask, that the Lord says, okay, Did he ask to not be led into temptation? Well, no, he didn't. Okay, well, let's put him through the ringer today and kind of teach him a lesson. I think if we did that, that would motivate us to pray. We kind of realize, oh, I forgot that. I need to remember it today, otherwise I'm going to have trouble. But we realize that the temptation does not come from him. The temptation comes from us. We see this in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 13 it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That when temptations come to us, whatever it might be, that it's not something the Lord just kind of came upon us and he's trying to convince us to do evil or anything like that. It comes from our own lust, that's how we're drawn away, that things come and it's not what we're supposed to have, but we desire it, that we want to partake of it. Just as with Adam and Eve in the garden, that they saw that the tree was good to eat, desirous to make one wise, and that eating of it, there was the claim that they would become as gods, and so they wanted it, even though God said that it was not for them. And the temptations come to us because we have a sin nature. It is a drive, a compulsion to do that which we are not to do, to rebel against God. And essentially, we must recognize in our Christian life that we are our own worst enemies. That when we fall, when we succumb to temptation, it's because deep inside us, part of us wanted it. Part of us gave in. It's kind of an enemy in our midst that we always have to guard against. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that Paul spoke of this, of how 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, he says, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That we have to learn to put that old sin nature to death each day, that we die into ourselves, we die to our selfishness, that we don't yield ourselves to the flesh, but instead we yield ourselves to the Spirit. And as we do that, it speaks about us dying daily, and that's because we find so often that sin nature seems to have a resurrection, that it comes back, it tries to exert itself again, and we have to bring it under subjection. We need to put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and put on the new. We recognize temptations come to us not only because we have a sin nature, but because we have a tempter, the devil. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That he is a predator, that he despises us simply because we are made in the image of God. And if we're Christians, he doubly despises us. And he watches us, if he sees a weakness, he exploits it. It's something that we recognize as there's so much in society. You think of sports, any kind of sport, that's sort of how it functions. Is the way you beat someone is you try to find their weakness. Whether, say, if it's football, if you find someone that doesn't run as fast as this other receiver, then you're always going to try to beat that guy and make him pay. And that's the way the devil is. If he finds a weakness, he's going to use it. He's going to keep at it, that he doesn't give us a break, that he has a tendency to pile on, that he wants to see us destroyed. And we realize that not only does he see his weaknesses, he usually tries to find them. And he knows human nature well enough. He has many different temptations. We think of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or three that are mentioned. We think of discouragement. We think of so many other things that he can tempt us with. And there's many tricks that he can use, and they're all very effective. He's been using them for centuries. He's been perfecting them on humanity, and so he's able to do a great deal of harm. And there's many devices that he uses, and we're not to be ignorant of them. We're to read the scriptures so we're aware of them, so when they come up, that he does not get an advantage over us. And we realize that he is very good at what he does. It speaks in 2 Timothy 2, verse 28, that we're to pray with for people, and we're not just to strive. It says of these ones, it describes them as those that oppose themselves. But verse 26, it says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." That he's so good at what he does that he's able to ensnare people, and they don't even necessarily realize it, that they have been brought to a place of real harm, of real difficulty, and they don't even recognize it. And that's, he is a deceiver. Sometimes he can convince us that we're on the right path when we're actually disobeying what is plainly what the scriptures teach. And there's so many different things that he can do, and so we have to be wary of that. And so when we examine it, when we do the math, and we realize that when we have the devil against us, that is always seeking to devour, seeking to destroy, and we have our own sin nature working against us, the things that we want to do, we don't, the things that we want to stop, we can't, we realize that without God's help, that our failure to resist and endure temptation is inevitable, that we can't do it on our own, that we can manage perhaps for a time in the flesh by our own willpower, but it's limited, that our will is often part of the problem because it's corrupted, because it seeks after what is to our destruction. But on the flip side of that, we realize that if we have God's help, if God be for us, who can be against us? If we have his help, if he is alongside us and strengthening us, giving us his grace, we can be assured that failure to resist and endure temptation is not inevitable. And that sometimes, especially if we have an area where the devil gets an advantage over us, and he does it again and again, we sometimes have this feeling, well, just this is my weakness, I'm always going to struggle with this, I'm never going to have victory. But if we realize God is in control, that he can help us, that he has the grace to help us overcome, that's why he came, that's why he died on the cross, that he would give us that ability, that we could have access to the Father, to that grace that we need to stand in, that we can overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony as it speaks of the saints in Revelation chapter 12, that it is possible. And so if we know that the Lord is in control, we want and need to be aware not only of the devil's workings and our own susceptibility to the devil's workings, but also God's source of victory. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And so we see the things that happen to us, it happens to people all through the world, it happens to people all down through history, different temptations, different trials, that there's been many that have succumbed to it, but there have been some and many by the power of God that have overcome them. And we want to see in all things that as the devil tempts us and tries us and tries to ensnare us, tries to deceive us. His purpose in all of that, his purpose behind temptation is to defeat us, to discourage us, to destroy us. He is always looking for an opportunity to do that. He wants us to leave an opening, a weakness that he can exploit. And if he finds that, he'll pile on. He'll do whatever he can to bring us low. And even when we have victory, we find so often, I'm sure you've found different times when you've had success in something, the Lord's blessed and you've had grace, you feel so good, but then so often the devil's right there to try to trip you up the next day. Sometimes it can be you, on a Sunday, the Lord speaks to you and he's like, I want to make this decision, I want to do what's right, and then Monday you end up kind of breaking the resolution that you had. And it can be so frustrating, but that's what he wants to do, that he keeps at it, and any success we have, he wants us to get discouraged by defeat. And he'll do that as much as he can. And that's his purpose, that he has a purpose in temptation that he wants to see fulfilled. And we realize we don't want to give him anything. We don't want to allow his purposes to be fulfilled. We want to resist just if for no other reason than so that he doesn't have the satisfaction of defeating us again. But we see that while Satan has a purpose behind temptation, that God has a purpose behind temptation as well. That God allows temptation for his greater purposes. That the devil is planning to use it to destroy us. But God wants to give us of his grace so it will actually build us, it will strengthen us. One has said, what does not kill me will only make me stronger. And that is the case with temptation. If we endure it, we will become stronger for it in the end. We see this principle given in several different places in the scriptures. James chapter 1. James says to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That the Lord wants to use temptation to perfect us, that he wants to see, are we going to serve the Lord even when it's easy not to? Are we going to stay faithful to him even though our desires would have us do our own thing? That there's so many things. We think of with Abraham and Isaac, of how he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And it was essentially... it was so that he could see, does he truly value me more than his son, or was he just following me all those years just to get what he wanted, and now that he has what he wants, that he's going to turn his back on me? That the Lord wanted to test his faith. He wanted to prove it. And it's something that we find when we fail, we see, well, my faith wasn't what it should be. My obedience wasn't what it should be. But yet it isn't something that should discourage us. It exposes where we need to grow so that we can seek God's grace and can be strengthened. But when we're able to have victory and he can build on that, it's actually, we want to understand that he doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't plan for us to fail. He plans for us to succeed. He wants to put us through something because he believes we can shine through his grace. He's giving us an opportunity to shine, to glorify him, and we want to take full advantage of that. And we see in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes though it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That He wants to build our faith. He wants to strengthen our faith. He wants to try us, so as with Job, that when He tries us, that we should come forth as gold. And I'm sure with all of us, we wish that there would never be any temptation, that we could just kind of go through life and just we would never be challenged. But we're never going to grow that way. We'll remain as spiritual infants. Temptation will be a part of our life. But we do not want to look at it as it's a chance of failure, but instead as an opportunity for success. And we want to see that God doesn't lead us into temptation. We do that all on our own with the devil's help. But He desires to lead us out of temptation. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, where he is faithful that with the temptation He will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. That way of escape is always there. We can be assured of that. Any temptation that comes, that we can succeed. That so often what happens is that, first of all, as we've said, that we're not sober-minded enough to recognize the temptation until we're already failed it. Or when we feel it come and we just think, well, I can't succeed. I've failed before, I'm going to fail again. But the Lord wants to say, no, there's a way of escape. I have my grace that I want to give unto you. And so that's as we pray and we have this thought each day that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That we see, yes, temptation's going to come today. Lord, I need your help. I need your deliverance from it. I need you to deliver me from evil. Whatever that way of escape is, that we would find it. And that even as we begin the day, that this would be our prayer. So that we trust that as we pray for it, that He'll show us the way of escape. That the temptation comes and we know it was coming. And we say, well, if this is temptation here and the Lord's allowed it, there's going to be a way of escape. So I need to find it. And it's going to be there and I need to take advantage of it. That the Lord has given us what we need. That we see in Ephesians chapter 6 of how it speaks of our need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Verse 11 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, that we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That we have the ability, that He wants us to have that as we pray in the morning, that we would put on our armor, in a sense, that we could withstand in the evil day. Whatever it might be that we think, especially verse 16 of that chapter, where it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That we... so often that's what the devil wants to throw at us, things to make us doubt, things to make us question God. But if we have that shield of faith, that we know that the trial is coming, know the temptation is being hurtled our way, but we are able to take the shield and essentially put it in front of us and kind of brace for impact, and we can trust that the shield of faith God gives us will protect us from whatever harmful arrows the devil might try to hurl our way. And so as we pray, as we seek the Lord's face each day, and we remember this pattern of prayer that the Lord's given us, may our own awareness of temptation be increased. May our recognition of our inadequacy to face it on our own be acknowledged, and in prayer may we seek His strength and His grace to overcome. That He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us shine. He wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. And He can do that as we ask Him to do that, as we're aware of the trial to come, and we pray to Him for deliverance from evil. And He is our deliverer. He is our fortress, our shield. And He can bring us deliverance. He can bring us through the fire and bring us on the other side, and we'll be perfected. We'll be made more and more into His image. And as we see in James that we can truly learn then to count it all joy and when we fall into diverse temptations, because we know the work that the Lord's going to do because of that. And we can realize that it says in the end of James chapter, or further down in that chapter, that it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And so may we seek his face in this most important area of, or one of many important areas of our life, that we would have that grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. You just pray that you would help us to see our need, help us to be sober-minded so we'll see the temptations as they come, and we just pray for your grace each day that we could overcome them. And we just ask you to be with us throughout this week, that we would recognize our total dependence upon you and seek your grace for whatever we face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's close with one more hymn, number 63. Take the name of Jesus with you, number 63.